Let me ask you a question. You don't necessarily have to ask or answer it out loud, but here's the question. How many of you wish or desire a more consistent prayer life with the Lord? I would say yes, myself, yes. Anybody? Couple people? I would dare say every believer is going to answer yes to that. So today, I'm going to give an intro to the Lord's Prayer. That's part of the Sermon on the Mount that we skipped over, if you remember, so we could put it at the end. And that's where we're at. So I'm giving the intro. I want to talk about prayer a little bit. I think prayer is probably the greatest privilege that we have as believers. We can talk to God and Jesus. It's just amazing. Tell me what's wrong with this statement. Well, I've done everything that I know what to do. I guess all that's left is prayer. What's wrong with that? It's backwards. Yeah, backwards. But I've done that a lot of times. I've done that. As a matter of fact, when my little boy Dan, he was just a little guy, we had a mini bike, a little tiny motorcycle kind of a thing, one speed, and we had a little course, a dirt track out behind our house. And I was doing everything I could to get that thing going. And I, you know, had a pull, like a lawnmower pull thing. I was pulling. And back in those days, I'm pretty young and strong. But I'm getting tired of pulling, and I don't know what's going on. I tried everything I knew. And then I said, hey, Dan, why don't we pray? A novel idea. And so we did. I said, Lord, would you help us get this thing going? I don't know what's going on with it, but Lord, we're asking that you would step in here in Jesus' name. The very next pull, you know, it took off. We still remember that. That's still a life memory for us, how the Lord came through. He's done that so many times. The word pray is mentioned over 100 times in the Bible. And the word prayer is also mentioned over 100 times in the Bible. It's probably one of the most natural things that a believer does is just to talk with God. Anytime, anywhere. Actually, the Bible says for us to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Well, it means pray all the time. To have an attitude of prayer all the time, wherever you're at any time of the day, you are one prayer away from getting into this situation, whatever it might be. All the time. And there's many different times of the day and places that we can be to pray without ceasing. When we're going to sleep at night, the best thing to do is pray. When we wake up in the morning, pray. You're driving a car, pray. This last Friday, I got a chance to play golf with 23 other people in my neighborhood. There's a guy that organizes golf tournaments in our neighborhood. And so I thought, man, this I'm going to get involved with this because I can meet a whole bunch of people like playing golf. But I thought, you know, we were going to go to Dairy Creek, which is right across from Cuesta College out there between San Luis and Morro Bay. And so I thought, wow, it's going to take me about 40 minutes, 45 minutes to drive this. I was so looking forward to that time just to pray, just to be alone with the Lord. And also on the way back, it was a great time just to pray. On the way back, I was tired. Golf, I can still play. I can still do it. It's the only thing I can do now is golf. And I'm just getting worse at it, But the prayer time, that was the best part of the whole thing. And just meeting the people. And just getting to know these folks because they need Jesus. They do. When you're at school, when you're on the job, pray without ceasing. When you're climbing a mountain, Nick, you guys just took the youth To the Sierras. How high did you get? Just under 11,000. So a bunch of high school kids, girls, guys, how'd they do? My grandson came home with some blisters on his feet. Yeah. That's a good place to pray. One day at work, I was a fumigator, and we covered houses, and I've told this story before. Some of you may not have heard it. Told this story before. And we came back. The second day was in Santa Maria, a two-story house in Santa Maria, and I got up on the roof. And the tarps, how many remember slip and slides? Yeah. Well, this tarp was wet in the morning, and it was like a slip and slide, and I'm on the apex of the roof, and I slip, and I'm not kidding you. It's a slip and slide. I went, boom, down. I was going right off the second-story roof fast. All I had time to do, pray without ceasing, all I had to do, all the time was, Lord, shoot, and my foot hit a vent pipe at the edge of the roof. Boom, dead on, and it stopped me. I mean, if I would have been just a little bit off, I'm gone. I don't know what would have happened. Maybe I'd go to heaven early. I don't know. That was the quickest prayer and the quickest answer I've ever received. Thank you, Lord. Walking your neighborhood. I really like to get out and walk. I take walks, but they're prayer walks. I walk and I pray. That's a great time. There are also many different positions in prayer. And I want to challenge you in your positional body positions when you pray. Okay, are you ready to be challenged a little bit? Okay. You young ones are saying yes. The old ones say, well, we've never done it that way before. The seven last words of the church. Yes, I want to push it. Okay, position number one, praying with raised hands. Have you done that? One or two? Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:8. He said, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Men, now I'm going to throw women in there too. I pray, he says, I therefore desire that men and women pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath, without anger, without bitterness, and without doubting. Doubting is the opposite of faith. It just kills prayer when you doubt. Have you done that? Try it. Whether you're sitting, whether you're standing, whether you're kneeling, raise a hand up. Solomon used this. Many people in the scriptures use this position of prayer. But when Solomon was dedicating the temple and he was pleading with God, he raised his hands and prayed. 1 Kings 8:54. Now, is there something big that you're asking God right now? Something big? Most likely there is. Okay, I want you to step it out and use a different position. Try it as I go through the rest of these. Try it. Try raising your hand in prayer. Second posture, hands open in front of you, like this. Hands open. Oh, Lord, Lord. It's a posture of giving, and it's a posture of receiving. Whether you're sitting, whether you're kneeling, whether you're standing. Lord, Lord, and pray. Listen, sometimes the prayer is going to be no more than a groan. Have you ever been there? Pretty much the only thing that gets out, that comes out is a groan. God knows it. He knows exactly what you're saying. He knows your heart. He knows it. Go for it. How about kneeling? Kneeling. I used to give the excuse that I'm getting too old to kneel. My knees are all messed up from athletics. I'm getting too old to kneel. That's not true. I can kneel. Have you ever tried that? When you pray, get on your knees. The next position is prostrate. You'd find many people in Scripture, they just laid right out on their face, right on the ground. One day I walked through that door right there, and I ran into my son, Darren. He was praying in there, and he was prostrate on the floor, just right on the floor, praying. I felt like I was really invading. Oh, no, I gotta get out of here. Keep going. And I got out. But if you find a place, nobody's around, try it. It's biblical. It's okay. I know that you haven't done it before, maybe. It's okay. Push it. Stretch your box. That's good. How about lifting up your head when you pray? I find myself doing that a lot. Whether my eyes are open or whether my eyes are closed, I'm just lifting my head up to the Lord. We can do that because He's removed all our guilt and our shame. Amen. We are His children. Actually, we're His brothers. Jesus' brothers. Try it. Lift your head up. When I'm worshiping and singing, I'm just singing prayer, basically. I often lift my head up. Except for, I still do it on the drums. I can still lift my head up. Still. Or bowing your head. Both good. When I was a little tiny boy, probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old, maybe earlier, I don't remember, but my mom taught me how to pray. She was not a believer. She was not a Christian. I did not grow up in a Christian home. Far from it, I'll guarantee you. But she taught me to pray. And this is what she taught me. I still know it. This is what I used to do. Every night when I went to my mom and say, did you pray say your prayers? Okay, Mom. And I did. Every night. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless. And I named every one of my family members that I could remember. I just started naming. God bless Mom. God bless Dad. My two brothers. God bless. Bless them. My aunts, uncles, my grandma and grandfather. I would just go through. I did that every single night. You think God heard me? I'm going to ask that question later on again. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Because in reality, I think God heard me. Because Mom and Dad got saved. Both my brothers got saved. My aunt got saved. My grandfather and grandmother, they got saved. It was really cool. Salvation started here in me, but it went throughout the family. And so I think He heard. Now, there is another aspect of prayer that is so important, I think, and oftentimes we leave it out. We do. And so I'm going to just share this little nugget of truth. Believers need to believe. Does that sound correct to you? Believers need to believe. And sometimes I just think there's too many unbelieving believers. And I've fallen into that mode many, many times. But Lee Story, remember Lee? Hopefully you're watching, Lee, because I'm going to share a passage of Scripture that you used to share with me over and over again for many years. We would come down here every Tuesday night, and we would pray, me and Lee. And we would walk this church, and we would pray. And he always quoted Mark 11:24, the words of Jesus. Therefore I say to you, All things for which you ask and pray. All, how many things? All things for which you ask and pray. Here it is. Here's the big one. Here it is. Believe that you have received it, and it will be granted you. So here we have Jesus telling us that we are to believe that we've received something that we haven't received. Believers are to believe. You know what that's called in the Bible? Faith. Faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's literally substance, but you can't see it, you don't have it, but it's as good as substance. It's evidence that's there. You can't see it yet. Yet. So when we pray, what I do is I just thank the Lord for it. So when I pray and ask for something, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that. I believe that I have received it, but I just haven't received it yet. Now, is that a biblical way to look at prayer? Yes. John said pretty much the same thing. In 1 John 5:14 and 15, he said, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. We don't have them yet, but we know that we have them. Okay? The things that you're asking for, and you're asking for, and you're asking for, the big thing. If you ask anything according to God's will, is it God's will? I was always asking for the salvation of my whole family. That was big. My brother was a Stanford graduate, graduated from Stanford, was a psychologist, a psychology degree. Every time I told him about Jesus, phoop, right over his foolishness, right over his head. I was praying for my brother, very intelligent. But the only thing, who saves us? God saves us. Who reveals biblical truth? Who reveals the truth of the gospel? The Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's foolishness. And it was. It was for me for a long time, and it was for my family, especially my brother and my dad. But you've heard the story that I invited Don and I invited my brother, Pat, and his now wife, Davia, over for dinner in Atascadero we were living, and we got done with dinner, and they had a little cubbyhole. We put them in the back. They couldn't get out. And we sat on the outside, and I put Bibles in front of everybody. What's going on? And so we did a Bible study. And he liked it. He actually, for the first time, he read Scripture all by himself. First time ever. And he asked if we could do that. If we could keep doing that for 2 years, they came up on Tuesday night and we had Bible studies at our house. I did their marriage counseling. And they're married today. They go to Grace Church in San Luis Obispo. Man. So it means that we believe something that's not ours yet. But I believe I'm going to receive it. It's that simple. Listen, believers, we believe to see. We do not see to believe. It's called faith. Give you an example. My throat is like parched. Lord, can I have some water? I'm up here and I'm losing it. My throat is going down the tubes. Thank you, Lord, for that water. Thank you. There it is.
Can I say something?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he works through people often. Yes. They all don't come that fast. But they come, but it comes. So next time you're asking, well, I don't care what it is, try it. Believe that you've received it. And Jesus said, that's not my words, Jesus said, and it will be granted you. Okay? Now, be careful. There's some qualifications there in James that says if we ask anything that we want to just spend it upon our own desires and our own lusts, then we won't receive that. Such as one of the guys that I was playing golf with, he drove a convertible Corvette. Candy, apple, cherry, maroon, red. It was so pretty. The young Dave came out for I'd like to drive that. I'd like to have that Corvette. Look, I wish I had that Corvette and he had one better. And nope, that's not going to happen. Using it on my own desires and lusts. Okay, here's the quiz. Ready? The quiz. Everybody look at me. You've heard this before. Some of you have heard it several times. I don't care. Here it comes. Two farmers needed rain. And they were praying and they were seeking and asking God for rain. Desperately needed it. After they prayed, one of them got on their tractor and they went out and the dried field, they went and plowed the field and get it prepared for the rain. Which one prayed in faith? The one who drove the tractor. Right. He believed something that he hadn't received yet. That's called faith. We are believers. Believers believe. And we got to step it up a little bit, I think. Step it up. Okay, here's that question. Do you think God hears the prayers of unbelievers out there? Now, I have been taught that God doesn't answer the prayers of unbelievers. The first prayer that God answers for an unbeliever is, Lord, come into my life. That's what I've been taught. And you probably have been taught that too, if you've been in the church for any length of time. But I know someone in the Bible that was an unbeliever, and God heard his prayers. His name was Cornelius. The story's in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11. This was a Roman centurion. He was a Roman. And he was praying to God, and God told him to send for Simon. And Simon would come to him and tell him about salvation. And that's what happened. And remember the three sheets? Peter saw the three sheets, and he was supposed to go kill these animals that it's not proper for a Jewish guy to eat. But God said, three times it happened, kill and slay and eat. And Peter said, no, no, Lord. Well, he knew that was referring to the Gentiles. And right after that, he went to Cornelius' household, and he began to, not only was it Cornelius, but he had his whole household there, all his servants and a bunch of other people. And Peter was telling them about Jesus, and the Bible says that he still spoke the words, as he was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying, magnifying God. And it was Peter and six other Jewish people that went with him, and they were blown away. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that God gave the same gift to the Gentiles that he did to the Jewish people on the day of Pentecost. They were blown away. And they baptized them in water because now they were believers. But his prayers, the Bible said, ascended as a memorial before God, and he was not a believer. Isn't that something? So there's basically two kinds of prayer that we're talking about. One is the pray without ceasing kind of prayer, where all day long you're in an attitude of prayer no matter what. And everywhere you go, you're praying. Every once in a while, you're just praying. Something comes up, you're praying. It's just that prayer without ceasing, constant attitude of prayer. The other kind is the praying in your closet, is actually getting away all by yourself in a place, a mountain. Jesus often went to the mountains and prayed many times in Scripture. He got away all by himself to be alone so he could pray. And oftentimes he went to desolate places, not mountains, because maybe there wasn't a mountain there. And so he went to a place all by himself to where he could pray and get alone with God. You know, I've been a pastor for many years now, but I've been following Jesus for almost a half a century now. And the most difficult part of my Christian life, the most difficult arena in my Christian life has been finding that time and actually taking that time to get away, to find that time to get alone with God. That's been the most difficult thing in my life for 47 plus years. Why? So I ask, why? Why is it? And listen, I know it is. I know it's probably the same for all of us here. It's hard to get and find that time and that place to pray. Why is that? Because I believe it's spiritual warfare. It's warfare in the spirit realm. And one thing the devil in the demonic realm, they do not want us getting alone with God and praying. I'm going to tell you a story that I've also told. Some of you have heard this before, but one day I got up at 4 a.m. to go out in my closet. My closet was my living room, and Donna was sleeping. So I went out of the bedroom, out in the living room to pray. And I got out there that night, that morning, and I couldn't pray. I was so distracted. So I got up. I was sitting, and I got up, and I was going to walk and pray, which I like to do. And I was still so distracted, I couldn't pray. It was just the strangest thing. And so I went back to bed. I said, oh, man. And I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what was going on out there? And I went back to sleep. And then he gave me a dream somewhere between 4:30 and 6. And here's the dream. I'm out in my living room. I'm praying out in my living room. And right through the wall, a guy walks right through the wall. Boom. It's this guy. Comes right into the living room, turns his back to me. He's looking towards the exterior wall. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Hey, who are you? What are you doing here? What's going on? What? And I was doing that. And he said, I've been sent to work. I've been sent to work here. I said, you're not working here. You're not. Nobody just walks through the walls, right? So I knew it was a spirit. I said, now get out. You go right back the same way you came in. Get out of my house now. Move it. Out. Go. Out he went. He walked right through the wall and out. Boom. But right after that, two more guys came in. Two. Right into my living room. Stopped. They turned. They didn't look at me. I couldn't see their faces. I said, what are you doing here? Who are you? And they said, we've been sent to work here. I said, you're not working here. There's no way. You get out. Get out of my living room. Get out of my house. Now move it. Get out. And they shrunk. At that point, they shrunk into little boys. And they went and they walked right by me and they sat down on the couch, which was behind me. And so here's two little boys sitting on my couch. And I've always wondered why that took place, that they turned into little boys. Maybe so I would have compassion on them and not take them out of here. Maybe. I don't know. But I told them to move it. Get out of my house. Now. Move. Out. And they left. Phoom, right through the walls. And then I woke up. And then I knew what was going on out there. I was so distracted why I couldn't pray. Because there was some spirit or spirits in my living room, and they were distracting me. And they do not want us to be praying. It is a battle. Sometimes that prayer is like a wrestling match. Have you ever been in that kind of a prayer where it's like a wrestling match? Oh, man. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? Ephesians 6:12. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places, demons and those kind of fallen spirits and so forth. That's who we wrestle against. What makes it hard is we can't see them. But often they're there. And they throw thoughts into our mind. They throw emotions into us. Sometimes they throw physical stuff on us. And that's who we wrestle against. When Paul wrote to the Colossian church, he wrote and told them that Epaphras often wrestled in prayer for them. So Epaphras was wrestling in prayer for the Colossian church. And I kind of understand what that means. This kind of prayer strengthens us, strengthens you. It strengthens you. It gives you power, strength. You know, the disciples, they saw Jesus do so many things, right? He walked on water. He fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. It could have been 15,000 people with just a couple of fish and bread. He healed many people. He removed so many demons from people. He said, "Peace, be still," to a storm one time, and it just stopped. They saw him do all of these things. But you know what? I don't ever see in Scripture where these guys asked Jesus, "Lord, would you show us how to do the miracles? Lord, would you show us how to heal?" They don't say that. They did ask the Lord, "Lord, would you show us how to pray?" They did that. Because I believe the whole foundation of our Christian life is based upon the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And that's greatly enhanced by prayer. And I believe they believed that. They understood that. Do you remember when Peter and John and Jesus were up on the mountain? It's called the Mount of Transfiguration. The other 10 guys were at the base of the mountain, and a father brought his son to these guys to get rid of a demon. The demon was trying to kill the son, often throwing him in the fire and the water and different things. But they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So Jesus comes back down from the mountain. He removes the spirit. And they ask Jesus, "Lord, why couldn't we do that?" Because they had cast out demons before. They'd done it. But this particular time, they couldn't do it. And here's what Jesus said. Two things. He said, one, because of the lack of your faith. But two, he said, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. This kind of spirit, you only have authority to remove this kind of spirit through a life that's characterized by prayer and fasting. That's what he was saying. And I tell you, I want to help people. So when I run into somebody that has a really strong spirit, I want to help them. And that's through prayer and fasting. So prayer, so important, especially the kind where we get away somewhere. Donna, my wife, she just walked through that door a moment ago, but when we lived in Atascadero, she got in her car every day and went and got a cup of coffee and then took the car to the golf course, Chalk Mountain Golf Course, and she parked in that first parking lot. Nobody's there, and you can look out and see the green grass. It's pretty, trees, pretty neat. But that's, she would spend her time with the Lord there. Every day, she spent that time with the Lord. You know, I think this is true, but knowing that we need strength, we need spiritual muscles. And listen, folks, I think we're going to need a lot of stuff in the next few months. Because I think something's coming down. I think it's coming down through the pike in this nation. And we're going to need to strengthen. We need to be strengthened. And I just want you to remember, if and when this thing hits, that it comes from prayer. And when I say prayer, I remember when I was in seminary, we had to do one of the things that they wanted us to do, which we did, is spend 6 hours in prayer. And then we had other times where we spent 4 hours in prayer. Then we had other times when we gathered together and spent 6 hours in prayer with other people, and then 4 hours in prayer. It's not, I would say, it's not just praying the whole time. It's reading your Bible. It might be singing. Then it might be praying. You might pray and walk. So there's lots of things we can do in our closet, wherever that might be. I think it's important, though, and I've been praying for all of us, that we would have a burden from the Holy Spirit to find that time, to step into those waters and to find that time and grab it and just try it. Try it. It's good stuff. Try it. Okay. When I learned the Lord's Prayer, I learned it in King James. I still have my King James Bible. It was the first Bible. Donna bought it for me when I was a brand new believer. I didn't know anything about anything in the Bible. I didn't know that there were different translations, but I was going to bring it this morning, but I forgot. But it's all frayed and torn. I've got notes to the whole thing. It's cool. It was the greatest thing was that Bible and the time that I could spend in that Bible. But everything that I memorized in King James. So oftentimes, when I say a verse, it'll start coming out with King James, but then I'll change it in mid-course. So this, I've memorized in King James. You guys know it? Let's try to say it together. And I'm going to say it in King James, okay? And you probably learned it. You younger folks, you didn't learn it in King James. You learned it in something else. But it sounds the same. Here we go. Let's try it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So, in the next few weeks, we're going to take each one of these sections and we're going to develop it more in prayer. This is a great model for prayer. It's a great template for prayer. I just don't think this is the Lord's Prayer, even though it's called the Lord's Prayer. It's probably on your title in your Bible. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Jesus wouldn't pray some of this prayer. He wouldn't say, "And forgive us our sins. Forgive me my sins, as I forgive those who sin against me." What's wrong with that? He never sinned. He didn't have sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for you and me, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So I think it's the disciples' prayer. Jesus taught the disciples when he said, "Lord, teach us to pray." This is what he taught them right here. And I think it's a great template for prayer, for a 6-hour prayer time, 4-hour prayer time, 1 hour, 30-minute prayer time. I think this is a great template to go with. The Apostle Paul gives us some pretty good directions also. He just spoke about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And then this is what comes next in verse 18, Ephesians 6:18. We're all girded up with the armor, and he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So what are we supposed to do with the armor of God? We've got it all on. We are to pray. It is a spiritual battle, and we need to be praying for all the saints, all the saints. We need to pray for one another. My pastor, E.B. Claude, when I got saved at ABC, we were a small church, kind of like ours, but he took every person. He had a list of everybody that came to the church. He prayed every week for every person. Isn't that something? So he prayed for me and Donna every week in his prayer time. Man, that's really something. The context is to the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life for every believer is spiritual warfare. That's just it. If we could only see the things that are happening around us. I've asked the Lord, Lord, can I see in the spirit realm? Because I could help people better if I could see what's going on. But if we could only see, we would be blown away by the unseen realm. Daniel, it's a very interesting account in Daniel. Daniel received a vision from God, and he wanted to know more about this vision. And the vision was concerning the final days on earth. You know, he was speaking ahead. And he began to pray and fast. So he went without food, and he began to pray and seek God for the answer. And God sent, from the very first moment, God sent an angel down to Daniel to give him the answer. But what happened to the angel? He ran into a huge, powerful spirit called the Prince of Persia, a territorial spirit, an evil spirit, a powerful evil spirit over Persia. And that spirit stopped the angel from getting to Daniel. How long did he stop him? 21 days. So, and Daniel did not give up. He prayed, he kept praying, he kept fasting. He did not stop. He wouldn't get discouraged. And then God, after 21 days, sent Michael the archangel down to fight this battle. And Michael did, you know, freed up that angel, and the angel came and spoke to Daniel. It's all recorded in the 10th chapter of Daniel. Very interesting, isn't it? Some of the things that happen out there. I think we need to be praying so much more for each other. I believe there are territorial spirits over our area, most areas, actually, around the world. And they're powerful spirits. What I've seen on TV, the demonic realm is having a heyday in our cities, in our larger cities today. Portland, Seattle, New York, and the list goes on and on and on. It's a spiritual battle that's taking place there. So this war, this battle, has got to be fought in the spirit. We're not fighting against people. We're not fighting against those kids or those anarchists or whoever is doing all this destruction in our cities. We're fighting against spirits. That's why I think we need to come together and pray. That's what I think. I think we need to get a group of people together and pray and to do battle. We need to come against the spirit that's causing havoc in our cities. We need to come against the possible spirit, which I think there is in relation to this COVID-19 thing, this pandemic. There's more that meets the eye that we cannot see. And we need to go to the root system and not try to just battle it with the leaves. You can't heal a wilting plant by doing something to the leaves. You got to go to the roots. Oof. I think we need to pray and get together and do some battle in the spirit realm, because we can. We can do more in prayer than we can do. Did you catch that? We can do more in prayer than we can do. And we need to get together and pray. I just sense this urgency. Listen, we are equipped with all the good stuff. We have the helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6. Jesus. We have the breastplate of righteousness, Jesus. We have the righteousness of Christ. We have the belt of truth, Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of truth, with the shield of faith. And we've all been given a measure of faith. And we've got shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. And listen, every one of you believers have got this equipment on right now, and it's a good fit. It fits really good. You don't have one piece that's, you know, trying to find pants, 36-inch arms. It's just hard, almost impossible to go down to any store. I can order them online, which is pretty nice. But the warfare armor that you have on is a good fit. It's a great fit, and we need to work in it. You are made for this battle in the Spirit. There's a verse that I love. I'm going to close it up here shortly. 1 Corinthians 6:13, the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. So the body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Whoa, did you just hear that? You were created for the Lord. And the Lord is for your body. He created us like this to reside in us. And it's a great fit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit in you. That's who you are. And it's a nice, tight, nice fit. It feels good because he made us to be inhabited by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. Your body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for your body. That is so cool. I love that passage. You are a powerful person. You are. Well, Dave, I don't feel. I don't care what you feel. You are. There's life and peace contained in the words of your mouth. There's healing and health contained in the words of your prayers. It's there. Gosh. There's salvation and forgiveness contained through the words of your mouth. And people need it. People need it. I'm going to end with some quotes. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing one last song. Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure, D.L. Moody. That's true. You look back at the revivals, the movements of God, the awakenings of God down through history. There's always somebody praying. There's always somebody battling. Always. Every one of them. That's what we need to do. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Prayer is the work. Oswald Chambers. God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. John Wesley. Believing prayer. Believing prayer. Put on the armor of God. And let's wrestle in prayer. Let's contend in prayer for each other. We can't do that. We've got to do that, especially in a few months. I think we've got to be active. We've got to have it together there. Okay? I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you that the body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that resides in us. The resurrection power of Jesus resides in us. And I thank you, Lord, that we are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works within us. Lord, thank you for these promises. And Lord, I'm asking that you would give us a greater urgency to pray for one another in the coming days ahead. And I just pray right now for Mark and Stacy and the kids. I pray that you bless them greatly wherever they're at. I pray that you would encourage them greatly wherever they're at. And I pray for each person here, Lord. I just pray that you would encourage them, inspire them to courage, Lord, whatever that means for them. Lord, we need courage sometimes to step out of the mold that we found ourselves in, because we can't contain you in a mold. And Lord, I don't want to be contained in somebody's other mode, the teaching mode that's not true. So Father, thank you. Thank you for this group of people and those that are listening by way of the internet airwaves. So Father, thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.